With COVID-19 numbers continuing to hold steady in North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper today announced that the state is planning to ease COVID-19 restrictions when the current executive order expires next Friday, October 2nd. Now, that's not a done deal yet. It's contingent on the state continuing to see positive trends in terms of the metrics that they're following. Not a whole lot of details yet today either, but the governor did say that large outdoor venues like UNC's Keenan Stadium would be able to reopen at 7% capacity if all continues to trend as it currently is. For Keenan Stadium, by the way, that would allow for crowds of up to 3,570. Here's what Cooper had to say earlier this afternoon.
Today we are announcing that because of our continued stability, we plan to take another step toward phase three in the coming days if our progress holds. That step will mean larger outdoor event venues will be able to open at 7% capacity starting next Friday, October the 2nd. We share this news today so those outdoor venues with seating capacity of more than 10,000 can begin preparations that are key to safely reopening their doors to have a limited amount of socially distanced fans. We'll continue analyzing our data and indicators as we determine how to move forward safely in other areas that may be included in the new order on October the 2nd. In it, we hope to ease some other restrictions while keeping in place safety protocols like masks and social distancing.
Governor Roy Cooper speaking there. The order would cover outdoor venues with a capacity of more than 10,000. Keenan Stadium is the only venue on campus that qualifies. Cooper also today announced the release of $40 million in federal relief funds to help small businesses pay for rent, mortgages, and utility bills up to $20,000 per business. Also today, state health officials unveiled a new contact tracing app called Slow COVID NC that'll let you know if you've been in close contact with someone who tested positive. Meanwhile, locally, the Herald Sun reports the Orange County School Board is considering moving to Plan B as early as late October and bringing some students back into the classroom. No decisions on that have been made yet, but the school board will consider that option at its meeting next week. Tonight, Orange County commissioners will continue hearing from members of the public on the proposed Research Triangle Logistics Park, or RTLP for short. That's a controversial 160-acre project that would go just south of Hillsboro if it's approved. This is part two of the public hearing. Part one was last week with several dozen residents weighing in. I spoke with County Commissioner Penny Rich the day after that meeting. Here's what she had to say then.
98% of the folks that spoke last night were probably not for the project. Real concerns about traffic, and I think that was sort of the biggest concern. There's also some thought that Economic Development District was never going to get developed. So, folks just went on with their lives and built homes and created their community. But the Economic Development District has been in place for quite some time, early 80s. I mean, we're going way, way back. So there's the conflict, and there's a lot of emotion attached to some of their concerns. Totally understandable, and we'll just have to continue listening to the folks.
And I know you're still only halfway through the public hearing, so this will be tentative anyway, but from what you've heard so far, are these concerns that could potentially be addressed within the context of the existing proposal, just maybe tweaking some things, or are these more kind of fundamental beyond that?
I don't know. I mean, I would hope that the applicant was really listening to some of the folks and really paying attention. Whether or not they're willing to make changes to meet what the neighbors are concerned with, we don't know. We don't know until we start having those conversations.
That's County Commissioner Penny Rich speaking there. The public hearing tonight begins at 6 p.m. You can get a link to the live stream at orangecountync.gov. No votes on this project tonight, though. Commissioners won't do that until next month. Also tonight, the Carrboro Town Council is meeting at 7 p.m. Their agenda includes a public hearing on zoning in the Rogers Road neighborhood. Get the full agenda and a link to the live stream there at townofcarrboro.org. Other news, today is National Voter Registration Day, a perfect day to encourage your friends and family to register to vote and, of course, to register yourself if you haven't already. The organization NCPIRG has been holding events on college campuses across the state today to register students, a lot of those virtually, of course. And here in Orange County, elections officials are getting the word out about what you need to know this year in order to vote and vote safely. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with more.
Early voting for North Carolina begins October 15th and will end on October 31st. To help community members learn more, the Orange County Board of Elections recently published a video series. Director of the board, Rachel Raper, speaks in the video and talks viewers through how the county will work to protect in-person voters amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The audio is courtesy of Orange County Libraries on YouTube.
Orange County will follow CDC recommendations to ensure a safe process, including enhanced cleaning of each location, single-use pens for voters to mark ballots, and single-use cotton swabs for voters using touchscreen machines.
Staff at the polling sites will wear masks, face shields, and gloves as they assist voters to protect their own health.
And masks will be available for any voter who needs one, and voters will be asked to observe social distancing while standing in line.
Raper also explains where county residents can go vote. The county will have the same 6 early voting sites as it had during the primaries in February and March. Voters can cast their ballots at University Place, Chapel of the Cross, or the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill. Additionally, the Carrboro Town Hall, the Eflin Ruritan Club, and Orange Works at Hillsborough Commons are also early voting sites. Raper says in the video, all early voting sites will be open from 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Monday through Friday, as well as 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays and 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Sundays.
We are doing all we can to ensure you can vote safely in Orange County.
For those still planning on voting after the early voting period ends, Election Day is on Tuesday, November 3rd. You can see this Orange County Board of Elections video series, which includes translations in Spanish and Chinese, on chapelborough.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Other news, local residents rallied on campus earlier today to urge UNC to stop using its coal-fired power plant and speed up the transition to clean energy. Orange County Commissioner Mark Markopoulos was one of the speakers at the event. Afterward, he discussed the issue with 97.9 The Hill's Dakota Moyer.
The climate crisis is the biggest threat facing humanity globally today. I mean, there's so many other crises going on that are somewhat related, but it is the number one threat to humanity. And we need to do everything that we can, you know, large and small. And this coal plant has been here for such a long time. And, you know, 10 years ago, Chancellor Thorpe said it was going to be gone by 2020. New people came into control at UNC and they decided that wasn't a priority. And we need to keep reminding them that it is a priority and we need to make it happen. The climate crisis requires us not to say, you know, can we do it? We have to say we must do it, and we can find a way.
So for people who weren't out here today or weren't able to attend the Zoom call, what are some ways they can A, get involved, and then B, take simple steps in their lives to prevent climate change?
Well, I think that people are pretty well aware of all the things they can do around their household, LED lights and alternative energy, stuff like that. But to me, the main thing that people need to do is get involved politically. Support candidates that recognize that the climate crisis is the number one issue. Find groups like this, go to rallies, and spread the word amongst their friends to get them active, because it's the political angle that has the most power to make change.
County Commissioner Mark Markopoulos there. You can visit our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages to see photos of today's rally. That was one of 2 demonstrations this week, by the way, against that coal-fired power plant. The other one will be on Friday at 10 a.m. at Peace and Justice Plaza. Speaking of environmental news, President Trump has reportedly agreed to extend a moratorium on offshore drilling to cover North Carolina. Trump earlier issued a moratorium on drilling off the coast of Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. Governor Cooper and Senator Tom Tillis both asked for North Carolina to be covered too. No confirmation from the White House yet, but both Cooper and Tillis now say Trump has agreed. And back locally, the towns of Chapel Hill and Carrboro have each issued proclamations recognizing Hispanic Heritage Month, which runs from mid-September through mid-October. With more on this, 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras.
September 15th was chosen as the starting date for Hispanic Heritage Month because of its significance in Latin American history. It's the date that five Latin American countries, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, declared their independence, while Mexico declared its independence on September 16th and Chile on September 18th. Throughout the month, the town of Chapel Hill will highlight a variety of local groups, artists, and past programs on social media to honor the contributions of Hispanic cultures in the community. In addition to the local observances of Hispanic Heritage Month, the town of Chapel Hill has outlined a few ongoing initiatives aimed at strengthening the support of Hispanic and Latinx residents. A few of these initiatives include a partnership with UNC aimed at developing strategies to make the town more welcoming and inclusive of immigrant and refugee residents, language access services to provide interpretation for Spanish speakers during public meetings and emergency communications, and police outreach to Hispanic and Latinx communities. While the town of Carrboro doesn't have any in-person events scheduled due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle issued a proclamation encouraging residents to join in on the month-long celebration of Hispanic history and culture. To learn more about Hispanic Heritage Month, visit HispanicHeritageMonth.gov. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
In Durham County, congratulations for District Attorney Satana DeBerry. The North Carolina Justice Center just named her as one of four 2020 Defenders of Justice for her work in the DA's office. The North Carolina Justice Center gives out those awards every year. And finally, a quick update on the case of the man who was convicted of shooting at a state trooper during a car chase in Orange County last year. We now have the sentence. 21-year-old Tyler Grants was sentenced last week to 30 years in prison. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Southern Village Pharmacy. Individual honors are in for Tar Heels, both present and past. TopDrawerSoccer.com has named UNC's Rachel Jones as the National Women's Soccer Offensive Player of the Week. Jones had two goals in Carolina's season-opening win over Wake Forest. UNC field hockey stars Meredith Shoulder and Bryn Boylan were named ACC Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, respectively, for their performances in Carolina's 3-1 win on Sunday, also over Wake. And former Tar Heel women's basketball coach Jennifer Alley has been honored by the organization Women Leaders in College Sports with a 2020 Nike Lifetime Achievement Award. Alley was UNC's head coach from 1977 to 1986. Speaking of major figures in Tar Heel basketball history, Michael Jordan is back in the news this week, too. He is planning to start a team in the NASCAR Cup Series with Denny Hamlin as co-owner and Bubba Wallace behind the wheel. Jordan will be just the second African-American to own a team at NASCAR's highest level. The first is another name you'll recognize, another Tar Heel basketball legend, Brad Doherty.